I also interviewed Mr. Charles Boosinger of James Township. He lived on the Hart Road, had lived there many, many, many years, and was a man about 95 years of age when I talked with him. He had worked in the lumber woods for the Wellstone people, and he had also worked on the river for the Tittlewassee Boom Company. And he told me that the what was referred to as gaps on the river were areas of water divided by floating logs which were chained together and attached to piling. On these planks, on part of these planks, or logs, planks were placed for men to walk on with pike poles. And these men sorted the logs by moving the logs with certain marks into the proper gaps, and they're where they were later on rafted. These logs were all sorted according to the log marks on the end of the log. They were impressed there, and these men would read those logs, sort them out. When they got enough in a gap, they would be rafted by placing a rope over the center of the log and driving a hardwood pin over the log, over the rope into the log. And that way they were attached to one another and ready to be towed to the proper mills along the Saginaw River, their arrangement for sorting. There was, of course, a coal mine spur in the early part of the 20th century. Mines were dug in the Jamestown area, and this railroad spur crossed the river about on the line of Saginaw City, or near where the Riverside Park is. They crossed the river there with a bridge and moved coal from the several James Township mines. And this spur passed through the wildlife area for possibly a mile. And of course, then again, entered the area along the Shiawassee River to get to the mines that were down there. One coal mine and two coal mines at least were located within the area of the wildlife territory. The Tittlewassee Boom Company also had a number of boarding houses within the area of the wildlife reserve. These boarding houses were built by the Boom Company to house their men. It was more convenient to have the men right on the river, right at the job, rather than to let them go into Saginaw and come back in the morning to work, because transportation was slow, and some of the men would have been inclined to stop in the saloon and not get to work those days. So they kept them right there on the river with them, so where they could go to work very easily. Some of this information is taken from the Boom Company minute books, and some is from Mr. Boosinger's information too. At Green Point, the Boom Company books state that a boarding house was constructed there in 1865. That was quite early, because the Boom Company was organized in 1864, and in 65 they already built a boarding house there on the river. Then again in 66, it says the Green Point house was capable of housing 48 men. Then they had the, in 1877, whereas the land on which the Green Point house stands is not the property of the company, but on leased property, it is to be disposed of. This was done before Mr. Boosinger's time. He was only 8 or 9 years old in 1877, so those were not houses that he was referring to. Boosinger referred to the section house as being 20 rods above the cut and below the Muskegon house. These are rather complicated descriptions, but the Muskegon house, of course, was referred to as that because they used a set of gaps along the river there, similar to what was used in Muskegon. So this particular place was referred to as the Muskegon house. A Mr. Mike Bear was in charge of the section house. He also said that this is where the big rafts were made up, and that Bill Hayes was in charge of making up the big rafts. By big raft, he referred to the log rafts that were being towed to the mills on the Saginaw River. They would take a rope, sometimes as much as a half mile long, rope, and attach it to a tug, and then these smaller rafts, anywhere from 10 to 100 or 200 logs, again, were attached to this, what he referred to as the bridle rope, and they were arranged in such a manner that the men who rode on the raft, there were always what they called runners, were riding on the raft, and they would cut loose the particular logs that were meant for, we'll say, the Williams Mill on the west side of the river. They would cut those loose and with a small boat tow them over to the mill, where the mill hands would take over, and then the runner would go back to the raft and be ready for the next mill. There were two or three runners operating on a big raft. And these rafts, as I say, were two ropes, sometimes 80 rods to a half mile long, with small rafts of logs attached on each side, and they were placed in such a manner that the last one would be the first one to be released, of course. And the men who made up the raft had to know how to do that. A number of runners would operate on one particular raft. Buzinger's section house may have been built after 1881 to replace the Green Point house, which was disposed of in 1877. I assume that is what happened. I noticed here that in 1866 they referred to a leasing 1 acre of land as a site for a boarding house. Then in January 69, they record that this house, along with others, are reported to be in good condition. The chief repair for a boarding house was to replace the floors, because the men with their cork boots wore the floors out quite regularly, and several times they referred to having replaced the floors in certain of the boarding houses because they were cut up too much by the corks in their boots. Again in 77, of course, they reported that the Green Point house was abandoned, and the space is now used as a making up ground for the big rafts. This again quite agrees with what Buzinger told me years later, that they had their place there to make up the big rafts. Prior to the abandonment of the Green Point House, we read, we constructed at the Fitchew Boom a series of pockets, or rafting gaps, similar to the Muskegon method of rafting, which we called the Muskegon Boom. Still regarding boarding houses, the Boom Company book shows that on January the 9th, 1866, they reported buying a 1 acre of land at the foot of the Merle Boom for construction of a boarding house. The Atlas of 1877 fails to indicate any boom property in this area, but the Atlas of 1895 shows a small parcel of land and a building owned by the Boom Company just below the old Merle Bridge. The old Merle Bridge, of course, is located below the present Merle Bridge. Boom Company books of 69 report that the Merle boarding house as being in good order. The Merle house was just below the old Merle Bridge. This is a notation from Mr. Buzinger again. This is where the 1895 shows their property. On three occasions, Buzinger talked about the Reeves House, which was where the new bridge now stands. I called on Mr. Buzinger a number of times, the last time just a few days before he passed away. I generally repeated some of my questions to test his memory, which, while he did not remember me from 1 week to the other, his answers to questions about events 60 or 70 years ago were always about the same. It is possible that a house was built at the New Merle Bridge site after 1881, because Boosinger seemed very certain of that. Again, in the Boom Company books of 67, ice houses have been built at the Green Point and also at the Fitchew and Merle houses. The Boosinger said that the Boom House was located on the Shiawassee opposite the mouth of the Flint River. This is now on the Shiawassee River and not in connection with the Boom, with the Tittawassee Boom River. The Boom Company meetings record the Boom Company books that I had access to ends in January of 1881. No doubt, of course, more records were kept until 1894 when the company disbanded. But the whereabouts of that book, of these last books, are unknown. Boosinger referred to Boom and Boom House on the Shiawassee River, a sorting gap referred to as the Big Boom, was located on the Shiawassee above the mouth of the Swan Creek. It was 3/4 mile long and 4 rods wide. Tom Creswell was in charge of that particular boom. Another boom was located at the foot of the South River Road, just a mile from here, he said, pointing out through the window. The first Merle Bridge across the Tittabawassee River was located 1,320 feet below the present one. The road extended from West Michigan Avenue to that particular bridge. The dike is still there that the road was placed on. The bridge was an iron bridge at that site. And the site before that, there had been a wooden trestle bridge there too, on the same site as the original Merle Bridge. The trestle work I do not remember, but the because the road was all filled at the time that, of my memory. Boosinger said that where the old Merle Bridge Road crossed the Bullhead Creek, there was once located a floating bridge. This was a group of logs floating and spiked together with plank, and on that the pioneers crossed before there was a constructed bridge there. Charles Lincoln, a pioneer family who lived in James Township, told me that his grandfather used to cross on the ferry boat or scow boat on the Tittabawassee River, which was located near where the railroad bridge crossed in later years, or in line with the present city limits of Saginaw, west city limits. He told me that his grandfather used that public scow, and that occasionally the scow would be on the wrong side of the river and he'd have to jump in and swim over to get the scow and bring it back, his team of horses on. The ferry boat, of course, was mentioned in the Tittabawassee or in the Saginaw Township record books too. It was resolved in 1845 in the township books that Hugh McCulloch and Albert Miller be commissioned to procure material and labor to repair the scow boat on the Tittabawassee River. Same book, page 146 in 1846, resolved to spend $40 to buy or construct a new scow. That was a year later. They apparently didn't do it the first year, so they made the arrangements to do it the following year. During the 1840s, James Township, of course, was part of Saginaw Township, which was true of the greater part of what is now Saginaw County. The area east of the Bullhead Creek was lumbered off of second growth logs in 1918 and 19. Logs were banked on the Tittabawassee River opposite the Riverside Park to the height of 10 or 12 feet. for years prior to and following 1915, there were a number of summer cottages located on the south bank of the Tittabawassee River opposite the Riverside Park. The map of 1916 locates 9 on land. In addition, there were a number of floating houses in the same area. The first Murrow Bridge was